Yeah, well, I don't know.
There he is. How are you? How's New Zealand, Vinny? What's going on?
Well, I don't know. Do you want the short version, the long version, the honest version, or the normal BS version?
Yeah, do it all. Start with the weather and tell us how you're doing. I know it's early.
No, it's not. It's like 10 a.m. and I normally get up at around 5 o'clock in the morning and then start working. And that way I've gotten about half a day's work done before anybody else even gets out of bed. So naturally.
I thought I was the only one that did that.
Yeah, well, I've got more YouTube subscribers than the New Zealand Herald, which is the largest media entity in my country.
Awesome.
And I accomplished that by myself. And there's a reason for that is because I work really, really hard every day, even when I'm on holiday, like today, which is why
I don't
look shaved.
It looks like you just grew that overnight.
I'm on holiday, bro.
Like 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, well, it's more like a midnight shadow, you know, just sort of encompassing the whole face.
Nice.
Hey, Vinny, let's get into the issues. What are some of the big issues right now? I got to say, since you're in New Zealand, I have to say that people are talking about the flat Earth. Can you settle it once and for all? Is the Earth flat or is it a globe?
It's neither. It's a holographic fractal representation of collective consciousness co-creating itself. All right?
Whoa.
That actually sounds right.
I'm very sorry to burst that bubble for you, you know?
Awesome.
All right, just like with, oh, it's the Republicans or the Democrats. They're both wrong. They're both working for the New World Order. Oh, it's flat. It's a globe. They're both wrong. They're both working for the New World Order. You see how that works? It's called a spectrum. And if you keep people on either side of the spectrum, they never get to the truth, which is in the middle, you know, like the squirty bit in the middle of a starburst.
Hey, Vinny, can you just point your camera down a little bit? Because you're right at the bottom of the screen. Just to make it, yeah, that's getting better, getting a lot better. Yeah, okay, perfect. Okay, so speaking of Democrats and Republicans, what about the whole Trump thing? Is that good, or is he another Illuminati puppet?
Okay, so how many, I've made this point on the other day. Do you remember the last time you voted in an election? No? Okay, well, let me remind you. A messianic figure came out and said he was going to solve all your problems. He said he was going to get rid of the lobbyists. He said he was going to close Guantanamo. He said he was going to end the wars. He said he was going to do this, that, and the other. And not only did he not do those things, he did the exact opposite and made all of them so much worse that the people who voted for him just didn't see it coming. And now you voted for somebody who said he's going to do all of that again. And what do you think's going to happen? All right? It's just... The fact that people are so easily played is a source of great depression for me. And I was watching George Carlin today, and he said, there was a point in my career, thinking about 1992, when I had a very profound realization that changed my entire career. I no longer have an emotional stake in the outcome of humanity. I'm just going to watch the human struggle for the entertainment value. A whole bunch of people got killed in a terrorist attack and everybody's freedoms got taken away as a result.
Are you able to have this attitude because you live in New Zealand, which is like so far away from
and less polluted.
Everything else?
Yeah.
And you got higher oxygen levels. We also understand. Because apparently the whole northern hemisphere is going to going out of way, if you know what I'm saying.
The problem with living in a fractal world is that everything that you see is actually a representation and a sort of a version of something else that you can't see, right? So if you're looking at New Zealand and you think, oh, it's really nice, it's so fluffy and wonderful and green, etc., and then you go and you look into it and you go, oh, we've got a police complaints authority that's completely staffed by police and it's supposedly independent, right? And not a single New Zealand cop has ever gone to jail for murder, even though many people in New Zealand have been murdered by cops with zero provocation, with huge amounts of evidence that they did it, in some cases being on camera, and nobody's ever been to jail, right? In our bush, the wonderful New Zealand bush, we drop what's called Compound 1080, It was used by the Japanese to poison the water supplies in the Manchurian campaign in China, right? They dump it into the water supply, then all of the villagers down the river, dead. And they walk in and take it without any resistance. We dump that into our rivers and our bush, okay? Because of an alleged threat of furry marsupials known as possums, right? Who allegedly carry tuberculosis, bovine tuberculosis. That's right. There's these little marsupials that have cow tuberculosis, right? And apparently everybody believes this, even though no evidence has ever been shown to substantiate it. Ever. Not once. They haven't even brought one animal that has a trace of this, of the virus in its system. So what are they doing? Actually, it's Agenda 21. Get people off the land. Poison the water so that all the people who are drawing their water off the pristine rivers in New Zealand get disorders and die quicker. So that their children get born with, I think it was, 6 urethras. All right, you imagine having a penis with 6 holes in it, and when you piss, it shoots out in all different directions kind of thing. A wonderful party trick, but not an easy thing to live with. All right, and now... That's just our bush. That's just our cops. You guys got fluoride in the water? We got fluoride in the water. You guys got chemtrails being sprayed over all your major urban centres? We've got chemtrails being sprayed over all our major urban centres. You guys got a corrupt sociopathic government that's basically financed by criminal bankers every single election and a dumbed-down population that keep watching TV and always vote for the, one or two scumbags and never actually vote for anybody who's absolutely real that would actually change anything? Oh, yeah, we've got that too, you know? They've got a lot in common. That's why they call it a new world order. All right? Well, did you think there would be a country that's exempt?
Okay, so, Vinny, so we live in the Matrix or the whatever that is that you said.
It's opposite world. Opposite world. Everything that you think is real is BS, and everything that you think is BS is probably real. I call it, were you allowed to swear on this broadcast?
All right.
All right. I call it Fuckham's razor. All right. It's if you've got two possibilities, one sounds really nice and rosy and you wish it was true, and the other one sounds so horrible that you can't even imagine how horrible it is. That's generally the one that's actually true.
Okay, so then who are the bad guys perpetrating all this? And then what can we do about it?
Same bad guys as you guys are dealing with. You're dealing with criminal bankers or anything like that. There's our Prime Minister, John Key, who's now stepping down. This is great, okay, because this was big breaking news and everybody's real shocked by it. And, John Key goes, all right, I'm stepping down. I'm no longer the Prime Minister. Everybody's like, what? What's going on? Whole bunch of people who aren't as bright as they possibly should be, start celebrating. And I'm like, no, don't celebrate. We're talking about a criminal banker who goes from New Zealand, selling New Zealand dollars in such record amounts for a huge US Wall Street tycoon that it collapses our economy and puts 100,000 New Zealanders out of work. That's his first job being a Forex trader in the late 80s. And then he starts working for Merrill Lynch and moves his back offices to Ireland where he assists 15,000 of his clients to avoid tax. And then he puts all of his money into blind trusts, leaves the country, goes back to New York, and then the Irish Tiger economy collapses like a deck of cards. And then in the late 90s, early 2000s, when derivatives got deregulated due to the repeal of Glass-Steagall, he became part of the European Bond and Derivatives Trade. He was actually the head representative for Merrill Lynch of the European Bond and Derivatives Trade on the Federal Reserve Bank of New York board. Okay? And just after that, Merrill Lynch, he left and they collapsed. And it got swallowed up by Bank of America, which he still has shares in and did have shares in the whole 8 years he was Prime Minister on the public record. And then... In 2008, he gets elected Prime Minister and the global financial crisis hits, the big 2008 global financial crisis. So you see this guy going, as soon as he leaves a country or leaves a job, that company or country collapses in a financial tailspin every time. All right. Every single job he's had in the last 3 decades has resulted in that exact same thing. 8 years after becoming Prime Minister, fast forward to today, he suddenly steps down. And what happens? A day after, he says that he just wants to go home and be with his family and be a nice guy and all of that kind of stuff. He's going to go work for the International Monetary Fund, the central bank of all central banks. If you wanted to get a needle on John Key's character, you wouldn't, because it's that slippery. Cannot be pierced. I haven't seen the guy say the truth once, right, and absolutely mean it. It's not something that others in my country really understand, because they elected him 3 times in a row.
Okay. But, Vinny, now I just got to say, I've been following the saga, the New Zealand flag debates and everything like that. And I know you had a big process, and I'm disappointed that you guys didn't come up with a new flag.
Well, whichever one we've got now, it's just it's more or less just a nice tea towel, isn't it? You can dry your dishes with it, but that's about all it's used for. Flags are about jurisdiction, all right? Who's got jurisdiction? Who's that? And what was his name? Eddie Izzard, the comedian, had a great sketch. He said, "The British Empire conquered the world with the cunning use of flags. They went into India and said, 'We claim this country here for majesty.'" And the Indians would go, well, hold on a second here. We've been here for hundreds and thousands of years. There's 500 million of us. Do you have a flag?" "Well, I do. I have a flag, and I'm also backed up by my NRA buddy. So go away, go away." Right. It's just that simple. You live under a conquered country, and we're still part of the what they call the Commonwealth, which is all the countries that were conquered by Britain that didn't shake them off in some kind of revolution, like the Indians and like the British. I mean, sorry, the Americans. Now, I wonder if the flag changing thing. This was a big initiative supported by John Key himself. And I had investigative reporter Ben Vidgen from Postman Gazette come on the show and explain this to me. It's called due authority, D-U-E authority. And whichever flag you have flying at the top of your pole, it represents which authority actually is in charge. And at the moment, the British Empire is in charge. New Zealand's not independent. Had he changed that flag, it wouldn't have necessarily meant New Zealand independence. It could have conceivably meant Oceanic Union dependency, which means you create very similar what happened to the European Union in Oceania, all around the right. Pacific, and make them all a bunch of easily controlled, independent, dependent states. All right, there's the whole difference between dependence and interdependence is that if you're interdependent, you're still dependent, aren't you? And if you're independent, you're not interdependent or dependent. And it's crazy that people don't really see this sort of dynamic working. They say, "We don't want the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement," okay? And they go, "Oh, you're just against trade." Yeah, I'm absolutely against trade, bro, you know? I don't like ships coming into our harbors and unloading food for people to eat, you know? That's just crazy talk. It's just, no. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement has 15% of its several thousand pages of documentation that has any effing thing to do with trade. All right.
Yeah.
The rest of it is about.
You know, we got to.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Vinny. I just wanted to say what I'm hearing, all these trade agreements, what they're really about. Because you know what? Why do we need agreements? We can trade, right? A Canadian company makes contact with a New Zealand company. We can trade. We don't need the government to make an agreement. We can still trade. It's really about creating such a complicated international bureaucracy that we need some kind of global government to manage the thing, is what I've heard.
It's a bit simpler than that. If you want to control a country and you don't control its economy yet, it's pretty straightforward. You've got to control their economy somehow in order to control the country. And people go, but just because they can control the economy doesn't mean they control all the activities in that country. Well, that's absolutely true. They wouldn't be able to absolutely 100% control all the things, but they could damn well be sure that your country's not a threat to their international globalist scumbaggery agenda, couldn't they? If they controlled your purse strings. You want to finance a war against us, buddy? Well, what if we give you like a, I don't know, $1 trillion deficit? You know, try fighting your way through that. Oh, you want to create your debt-free currency then? Or you want to sell gold and you want to sell oil for gold or euros or something like that? Well, we've got a Tomahawk cruise missile with your name on it. Okay? See, and it's like a Zeppelin, a very, very large Hindenburg kind of thing. The way they would keep them tethered to the ground so they could actually load people onto them is they would be tied down at various different points along the airship, all right? And it didn't matter if you cut one tether or even cut two. You'd have to cut maybe 10 in order for the airship to just start floating up again, right? And that is the situation that we're actually in internationally, is all countries are bound by the New World Order, by the criminal bankers. And unless all of us are free, none of us are free. And this boils down to the individual. You talk about solutions, you talk about being positive or something like that. I cannot agree with George Carlin more when he says that I love people when I meet them and interact with them, but I loathe and despise the groups they associate themselves with. Every single time that you take away the individual from the decision-making process and put another edge of personality onto them that wasn't their own, you're part of a mind-control cult, all right? Essentially, that's what's going on here. Doing a presentation that I just wrote down a couple of notes for here, and I was like, how can you understand the way the world actually works by just knowing a few topics well enough that the whole dynamic of how the world works is suddenly known to you? And I was like, define narcissism. Define complex post-traumatic stress disorder. Define brainwashing. Define cult indoctrination. Define psychopathy. And define conspiracy theorist. If you know what psychopathy, narcissism, complex PTSD.
I think the military is heavily involved in all of that.
Well, what...
I think they control all of that, don't they?
Well, the reason why I picked these particular ones is that they work in concert like a circle. Okay? So, if you look at the behaviors of a cult, and then you look at the behaviors of somebody with post-traumatic stress disorder, they are virtually identical.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the behaviors of psychopathy, and then you look at the behaviors of brainwashing, you'll find out that the exact same method by which psychopaths manipulate people is the exact same method by which you can scientifically brainwash people. If you define narcissism and you have a look at all the personality traits and the characteristics, narcissists create, shall we say, feeders. They have people that they feed off emotionally. And what's funny is that if you have a look, again, at how a narcissist does this to somebody, how they corrupt somebody's personality, turn it against them, and turn that person into a psychological food source rather than an individual, you're looking exactly at somebody with complex post-traumatic stress disorder. You're looking exactly at somebody who's the victim of a psychopath. You're looking exactly at the techniques of brainwashing that is being used on people in order to promote cult behavior, right? And if you tell anybody any of these things, they call you a conspiracy theorist. All right, so it's like that's the whole gamut of it. And what's interesting about this is that all these terms are mostly just psychological things, all right? It's about understanding the mentality. Hashtag know what you are dealing with. The reason why corrupt politicians keep getting in, and when they get caught, they don't go to jail. The reason why people with nonviolent drug offenses are going to jail. The reason why people are dumbed down. The reason why the education system sucks. The reason why the media is full of lies and deceit and BS. You can link it to narcissism, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, brainwashing, cult behavior, psychopathy, and if you do link it like that, you get called a conspiracy theorist. Okay, so it's over and over and over again. Now, I've just repeated these words a number of times, haven't actually defined in any way what they actually are, right? And that's how they like it. They like to keep the details absolutely freaking minimal. The less understanding you have of these personality disorders, the less you will understand why your leaders do the things that they do. The less you will understand why people are as dumb as they are. The reason you will understand why it's so easy to control people, because there's actually a methodological plan for how to do it. You can learn this technique as well, and you can start becoming a cult leader very easily. Anybody who's watched The Walking Dead recently and had a look at some of Negan's behavioral characteristics, they're brainwashing, intimidating, psychopathic control techniques. He gets into people's personal space. Okay? A lot of the time, until they back down or look away. It's a dominance technique. And he'll always take more than he says he's going to, but only after you've agreed to let him take something from you. Psychopathic mind control technique, right? You start seeing, and the reason why Negan's such a popular character and has really blown people's mind is because the writers have actually put the very methodologies by which we all allow ourselves to be willingly enslaved on the screen for us all to see. The reason why we keep doing what the cops tell us to do is because we know they might kill us if we don't. Okay? The reason why we keep going to work is because, even though we really hate it, is because the boss rewards us with money if we do. All right? In order to keep somebody mind controlled, there are three things you need to do. Dish out punishments that are very clearly defined, give out rewards that are very clearly defined, and make you identify with your captor. Charles Manson used to do this to people. He would go to his cult members, just stop them at some point while they were walking around, and put their hands on his hands and then move backwards, and they were meant to move their hands with his. All right, it was all about mirroring behaviors. So when Negan says, "Who are you?" "I'm Negan." "Who are you?" "I'm Negan." What he's done is he's replaced the personality of all of those people. "What are you?" "I'm a Marine." "What are you?" "I'm a school student." "What are you?" "I'm a lawyer." "What are you?" "I'm an MD. Mind control is everywhere. You got one person telling you what to do, and that person's got like magical thinking or something like that, like you're not allowed to question them. That's a mind control cult that you're a part of. And that means school, if you're in school, mind control cult. You ever been to church? Mind control cult. It all is what it is. And the only people who actually benefit from these mind control cults are psychopaths and narcissists. All right? Because they need it. The reason why they crave subjugation of others so much is because they don't actually have anything real behind what they say they are. They do the exact opposite of everything that they do, or they say that they do the exact opposite of everything that they really do, and that way you never suspect them. All right? And if we have this problem here, and the broader realization, this was the thing that really scared me, and this happened about a week and a half ago. I love having big realizations like this because it's the fear that motivates me, essentially. The entire reason why I started being a talk radio show host and an activist and a filmmaker and even a singer-songwriter is out of pure fear. Fear of not being able to do these things once the New World Order makes them all completely illegal and executes people like me, right? So my fear is that I'm going to be enslaved or exterminated. And as a result of that fear, it has motivated me to change my life, to give up things that I thought of value and what have you. And the thing is, you're not supposed to make decisions like that just out of pure fear, like me, like I did. And that's probably why I suffered for many, many years before I kind of got my head screwed back on straight again and got a radio show and did the whole nine yards, right? And it's like, bro, we're all under mind control. None of us are actually in our right minds. And that is the scariest realization of all, is that all of us have been subjected to tested, tried and true mind control techniques by people who have very severe personality disorders. Okay? There's your reality that you got to kind of digest now. I'm under mind control because I was abused by people with narcissistic and psychopathic personality disorders. That sounds really rosy, Vinny. What else have you got for us? Well, they're also incurable conditions. So you can't just say to them, hey, bro, please stop mind controlling me. It's not nice. They won't just go, oh, you don't like being mind controlled and subjugated. Sorry. I just wasn't aware of that. No, they do it because they're compelled to. And here's the reason why. How can you fill a cup that has no bottom? You cannot, because whatever you pour into it just goes straight through it. The cup can at best be full temporarily before it is emptied again. That is a psychopath's soul. They have nothing. They need to suck the energy off of you, emotional energy, preferably negative spectrum energy. Otherwise, they die. Like, they actually just die. And because they don't have any real soul or personality in there, and the same is true for a narcissist like myself to a degree, I'm on the benign spectrum. Just remember, there's really, really bad narcissists, and then there's those that are like the Muhammad Ali's, the Bruce Lee's, these really arrogant dudes who had a justification for their arrogance, right? Oh, he keeps saying he's the best and he can beat anyone, but he is the best and he can beat everyone, bro, okay? See, that's the benign spectrum of narcissists. And on the malignant spectrum of narcissists, you've got people like John Key. Although they're very, very skilled and the best at what they do, they only do it with evil. All right? They don't do anything good with their talents and skills. And they need that fulfillment constantly, constantly. Destroys a country, moves on, destroys another. Destroys a company, just moves on, destroys another. And psychopaths don't have an attachment or an identification with their past personality traits either. So if you go up to a psychopath who's a murderer or whatever, and now he's not a murderer, he's a religious leader. You know, I found Jesus. Oh, no, that wasn't me. That wasn't me anymore. Right? They don't actually identify with who they were, only what they are right now. Their past, their history, everything doesn't matter. They have no emotional attachment to it whatsoever. Could you imagine that you hurt somebody, hurt them so badly that it absolutely destroyed their life and now they're in destitute, dire straits? And then you see that person again and you go, hey, how you going? How you going? As if you never did anything to them? Psychopath.
So, Vinny, we all know what the problems are, right?
Oh, no. Nobody knows.
Nobody like, does. You know, definitely it's out there, fake news and all that jazz.
It's never so out there. That's the biggest misconception. There? It's always in here. This is where all the problems actually are.
What's going on with New Zealand and what are you guys doing out there? What are you doing to change the world, Vinny?
Me?
What about you? Yeah, personally, you.
See, I spent the first 9 months of this year, cut my holiday short, came back to work at like 6th of January, started exposing Pete Santilli, did this thing called the unauthorized biography of Pete Santilli. If you haven't heard of Pete Santilli, you need to go watch this. And if you have heard of Pete Santilli, you need to go watch this.
Right, sure.
Yeah. It's just like what I was saying before.
Did you guys actually work on the same project together? Was it the Gorilla Media?
Yeah, we worked on it for like a total of a day when I told him the entire structure of the business and how it was all supposed to work. And then he set up his own version, cut me out, and then told everybody that I'd dropped out of the project and didn't want to do my own project anymore.
Oh, wow. And how did you meet him?
On the radio, American Freedom Radio.
Right.
He was,
How long did you guys work on the project together?
A night, and then he stole all my ideas and started it up by himself and cut me out, as I just said before.
Wow. So you met him and then you gave him all your ideas over one night?
Yeah, I mean, after a while, you know, I mean, we'd known him for about like a month, maybe done a show here or there. And then he said, oh, I really like the name Guerrilla Media. I really want to do that with you, Vinny, and all of that kind of stuff. And telling me everything that I wanted to hear, telling me that he's going to help this project get a hell of a lot bigger, and telling me he's going to put some more effort into it, and he's going to create these programs and regimes for it and whatnot, you know. And in order to get me to give him all the intel that I had on how to actually set it up and how to run it and how to make sure people got paid and got valued for their work and how to collect their own revenue streams so that nobody was at the center collecting it all and destroying everybody, came up with about 20 principles of journalism and integrity that we said that all members have to actually sign and mean for. In a 24-hour period, out of those 20 journalistic and personal integrity rules that we wrote together, he violated 17 of them.
Nice. All right. Very well done.
Imagine you got 20 rules, and each of them all sound really perfectly reasonable to a person with a conscience, and then you violate 17 of them in 24 hours. Right? Just after you finish creating them yourself. That's a personality. Right.
So then what happened?
Well, I got really, this was ages ago. That was like in 2014, 2013, I think. And, so in 2016, he gets arrested for possession of a handgun, which was loaded and had extra ammunition. Now, each one of those offenses by themselves in the state that he was in without a concealed carry permit carries a minimum sentence of like up to 18 months or 4 years in imprisonment, right? And he was caught with all three of those different violations, gets released within 24 hours, right, with no explanation given why all the charges were dropped. And then, in a couple of days' time, he winds up at the Murrieur Wildlife Refuge up in Oregon with a big badge on his back saying, "Press Pete Santilli." And he's going around agitating people and reporting on the thing and telling everybody to come down and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, the whole time, he's been working for the FBI, and he has been since Operation Out Truck, which destroyed the trucker's ride for the Constitution. Their Facebook page had 200,000 likes until they gave admin privilege to Pete Santilli, who then removed all the other admins from the Truckers Ride for the Constitution and changed the name of the Truckers Ride for the Constitution Facebook page with 200,000 likes to Guerrilla Media Network.
Wow.
With 200,000 likes.
Crazy.
No, it's not crazy. It's psychopathy.
It is.
It's just so funny to me.
How come you didn't do any research on him before all that went down?
Oh, no, you know, this all came out in the wash, essentially. The reason why I had to call my holiday short, and I think the reason why I've been on such a long holiday this year is because I did that. Because me and Suzanne Posel knew that Pete Santilli was going to get somebody up there killed. And we were right. And we wish we'd yelled louder. We wish we'd made more of an effort. But you can't save people who want to die. All
right? Right, but you know, we just talked about, like, some people are seriously MK'd. They don't even know what they're doing half the time, right? There is that, too.
Yeah, but just because you can program someone over a long period of time doesn't mean you can just deprogram them instantly. Some people, it's like this whole... Are they too far gone? Philosophy. Now, we had a personal sense of responsibility. We had all of Pete Santilli's court documents from him starting a fight with a fire chief, for him and his wife being arrested for breaking and entering and squatting in a house, for him spending 3 days in Los Angeles prison. You know, for him coming out with a GI Bill and getting $20,000 and blowing it in 1 year and taking most of it out in cash. You know, just time after time after time, every single thing. We did this guy's whole 30-year history, and every single year of his life, he has been involved in being a criminal. Like, just a dyed-in-the-wool kind of, if he could kill you and get away with it, he would kind of criminal. really horrific stuff. The amount of people's lives he's destroyed, it weighed really heavily on my conscience, essentially, because I knew this history. I mean, Suzanne Posel knew this history, and we had never gotten around, because we were so traumatized from dealing with this guy, from the amount of trolls he would send our way, the litanies of abuse that we received, hacking our websites, getting my YouTube channel taken down, the whole nine yards. He did everything and anything he could possibly do, legal and illegal, to wipe us both off the face of the earth, including saying that to one of my listeners in a Facebook message that he actually will do anything and everything to wipe me off the face of the earth. So
wow.
We had to do something. Not for ourselves, it was already too late for us. Mm-hmm. But for the other people who didn't know who he was. Because anybody from that point on, now that Googles Pete Santilli, will come across that video. And for those who can listen, for those who can be saved from the horrific suffering that we went through, they will hear it, they will see it, and they will listen. For those for whom it is already too late, unfortunately, they will watch it, they will make excuses for him, and they will ignore it, and they will continue to support him until they get betrayed like we did.
So where to now? What are you up to now?
I've got a whole bunch of lists of things to do. Let me just see if I can crack these up on my text edit here.
Okay.
All right, here's my first one, Bainimarama. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of little words and misphrasings that I've got to redo. What have I got? Maybe 10 or 20 little words and misphrasings from an audio book that I'm narrating. And I just need to edit those bits, and then I can put out the third chapter for that. That's Ian Wishart, who's a New Zealand journalist. His book, Totalitaria, which came out, I think, in 2011, which chronicles the, you know, pretty much the whole New World Order system to a large degree. I don't know, I'm only up to chapter 3. But that's one thing that I'm working on. Let me see.
I have a question. I heard all the elites are moving down to New Zealand, are they? Are we seeing them around? Are they crawling around there?
No, it's just fear-mongering being put out by Alex Jones. Okay, basically, one elite moved down here, and that was James Cameron. And you know why he moved down here? Because he was making Avatar 2 and 3 here at Weta Studios in Wellington, and bought a farm here, and is now growing hemp, okay? And somebody asked me one time, hey, Vinny, how expensive is farmland in New Zealand? And I go, well, let me put it like this. There's two big chunks of farmland that are available for sale right now in New Zealand, and the only people that can afford them are giant Chinese conglomerates and James Cameron. All right, so let me see. I'm in a band, the Pākehā Chiefs, me and my mate Mikhail, and we're going to the Okura River Forest Festival, and they're trying to save the forest just up north of Auckland here. We're going to be playing for 30 minutes there. And before that, on the 19th to 24th of January, we'll be camping out at the Blackberry Arts, Music and Consciousness Festival in the middle of the North Island here. And we're going to play a one-hour set on the acoustic stage there. And I'm also going to be giving a presentation while I'm there on the main stage about those five topics that I did for you there. It's not written yet. I only just defined what those topics were and what the most important thing is today, just before coming on the show. So you'll have to excuse my presentation style there for a little bit. There is.
That's okay. We have a studio audience here who was wondering about your Trump situation. You had some things to say about Trump. We're wondering. Let's hear it. Yeah.
Let me see. How could I define Trump for you? All right, if you did a simple Google search before voting for Trump about his background and his associates, did you? No, you didn't. Did you, voters? Not once did you Google Trump, his backgrounds and associates, or the backgrounds and associates of the people that he is planning on appointing to his cabinet. You didn't do that. You didn't do any research whatsoever. What you did is you believed someone who you think is good at their research. Oh, this person's good at his research. He's telling me this guy's anti-New World Order. I'm going to believe him blindly, like I have for the last couple of years. Did you know that one of the mind control techniques is asking you to believe, is getting you to believe me? All right? Don't frickin' believe me. Think for yourself. So when Trump got elected, and I refuse to cover the whole election, you know why? Because everybody's talking about it. Instantly, my little radar goes up. Bing, 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 bing. Everybody's talking about it. Distraction. Bad idea to give it airtime because A1, don't need to. Everybody else is giving it airtime. And number two, it's distracting everybody from something. Didn't know what that something was. And I wanted to wait until the outcome of the election was announced before I tried to find out. So I covered the election for a total of 3 days. All right. 3 days I covered the election for. And the only reason why I covered it for 3 days is because I wanted to know three things. One, who actually won the election? Two, who they're going to plan on filling their cabinet with? And then three, whether or not they're all New World Order scum. I found that out in 3 days. Okay? I found that out in minutes, really. As soon as the article, as soon as the article came out, from the New Zealand Herald saying who Trump's potential cabinet members were, I was like, no, can't be that simple. Google the name of the person. Plus Freemason. Boom. Article comes up praising him as a Freemason. Okay. He goes on the list. Google another person's name with the word Trilateral Commission. Ah, there's an article with him of speaking at the Trilateral Commission. Okay. He goes on the list. Go another one is, the guy's name plus Skull and Bones. Is he a member of Skull and Bones? He is a member of Skull and Bones. Okay. He goes on the list. Let's have a look for another one. The Council on National Policy. Yep, Trump's campaign manager was a member of the Council for National Policy. Okay, she goes on the list. And then, let me see. Council on Foreign Relations. Google another name plus that. Ah, yep, they're on that. It's on the list. So every single time that you look for Freemasons, Council on Foreign Relations, Council of National Policy, and Trilateral Commission, and they're all together, that's when you know you've been had. If it was one, maybe two, I'd say that there was maybe some room for doubt that you've been played and that he's a New World Order plant, but considering he's related to the Clinton family and the Bushes, just like all the black nobility presidents of the United States since Washington have been. Washington was a Freemason, by the way. So were most of the founding fathers. And his presidential inauguration ceremony was a Freemasonic ceremony, bear in mind. That's how powerful Freemasonry is in America. And its big head office, other than Washington, D.C., is the 33rd degree building in Dallas, Texas, where, you guessed it, some of Trump's potential cabinet members are very prominent. All right, so, yeah, it's unfortunate to know that not only have you got another New World Order president, but that the alternative media that you believed are working for the New World Order too. Right. So there's two really nasty things for you to come to realization. Number one, New World Order is still in control of the United States, and the alternative media is controlled by the New World Order now as well. And number two, everybody's suffering some form of complex post-traumatic stress disorder due to abuse by some kind of narcissist or psychopath. All right. That's the whole world in a nutshell. It's controlled in the New World Order because they're narcissistic psychopaths.
True. So are you getting the whole fake news thing down there too?
I haven't looked into that one yet, either, because I don't, again, it's a big spectacle. Everybody's covering it and everybody's looking into it. And I don't do current events. I don't do, you know, news, that kind of thing. If it's,
well, I was studying one that's been around for a while, but you know, and it is related to the Pizzagate, but also, I mean, that whole ring, the pedophile ring, has been happening also in Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, you know.
Okay. Well, the thing people don't realize. The things people don't realize is that to do with those pedophile rings is that the overwhelming majority of the participants in the child trafficking programs are military bases and child services. Okay. That's where they get them. Child services is where they kidnap the fresh meat. And the military bases is where they abuse them away from prying eyes. More or less. This is paraphrasing 12 years of research, so I hope I don't oversimplify it for you. And in the 70s, during the MK Ultra programs, it wasn't just about mind controlling people. It was also about blackmailing people, particularly blackmailing presidents. Okay? You cannot be president unless you're blackmailable. That became the rule. Since before JFK, right? The mafia are deeply, deeply involved in US politics. If it is, because let's face it, politics affects organized crime because it controls most organized crime. It either allows it or disallows it. Is the mafia under investigation or is it not? That's the government's decision, right? That's the FBI's decision. So naturally, the mafia figured that out and went, okay, we've got to do something about this. These people don't want to pay their protection money to us. They don't want to just do whatever we say. And so we have to create a system whereby they have to give their protection money to somebody and they have to do what that person says or else there's real consequences that you can never defend yourself against. What do? Let's control the government, right? Because everybody pays their taxes even though they don't want to, and everybody who tries to fight back against a cop can get killed pretty easily without any consequences for that cop. Brilliant. How do we do that, though? Well, who controls the government? Who makes the decisions? Well, there's this senator, that senator, and these group of really highly influential people in the business and political community. Okay. Well, let's get them into hotel rooms, give them acid, give them whores, and then film them from behind a mirror. And then threaten to show that to their wife unless they pass a piece of legislation that we want next year that stops us from getting investigated for the human trafficking scams that we're running. Okay, how about that? That sounds like a really good idea, bro. And before you know it, every single president is in the pockets of organized crime, and all the organized crime is interlinked with the Freemasons, with the Israel lobbies and the international banking as well as the government. So you've got this beautiful nexus where it doesn't matter which way you resist. If you resist with a gun, they've got bigger guns. If you resist with money, they've got more money. If you resist with entertainment, they've got bigger entertainment things to distract everybody for you. They've created what's known as full spectrum dominance. Okay, and to my mind, the only defense against full spectrum dominance is full spectrum awareness. And the reason why I'm doing this presentation at that festival, defining narcissism, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, brainwashing, cult behavior, psychopathy, and what a conspiracy theorist is, because I believe that these are indeed the key struts by which the full spectrum dominance is allowed to operate. The only reason why it continues to operate without being challenged really effectively is because of the general lack of awareness of it. Okay? People fear what they don't understand, and they're reluctant to go and fight against something that they fear. However, the more you understand it, the more you understand its weaknesses, the cracks in the mask that covers the evil face, the less afraid you become and the more angry it makes you. And at some point, you become so full of rage that you no longer feel afraid.
Right. So what are you going to be doing this year? And how's your news station going? Like you said that you were doing better than the public news, the media in New Zealand.
Just in terms of having more subscribers than the New Zealand Herald TV, which is their YouTube channel, the biggest newspaper in the country and the biggest news site in the country as well, I'm teaching people how to make videos and audio and stuff just across Skype. You can share your screen and see what they're looking at, and you can give them instructions, that kind of thing. And I'm pretty good at giving people instructions because I'm very lax on the technical terms, and that it's more like just click this, drag that, that kind of thing, and showing people tricks, and they're becoming really excited about making films then. I've got a documentary to make, which I'm going to call Key Deceptions, which is about not only those subjects that I just mentioned before, but about all of the real topics. Those ones are just like defining ideas and behaviors and that kind of thing. But the other one is just about more fact-based, about how Agenda 21 got brought about, how it's getting implemented. Climate change, international banking, the Club of Freemasonry, and how these things all actually came about, how they work, and how they work in concert, more or less. And then end that on a note of just saying, look, traditionally throughout history, it's only taken a roughly 3% of the population to be aware of a problem and want to do something about it for that government or organized crime syndicate to get overthrown. 3% of people need to be aware.
Yeah, that's my next question. How's the crowd and the community in New Zealand coming together?
I don't know. It's like I withdraw a lot because it allows me time to think, and people make me angry because they don't. I also wanted to make a little documentary with a friend of mine, Penny Bright, who's probably the number one local government corruption watchdog in the country that the country's ever seen. And people should be grateful that she's still alive to be there fighting for our local democracy.
Yeah.
But, it's a short documentary / TV episode about how she got completely censored out of the Auckland mayoral race. There were like four major debates, and she was the fourth highest polling candidate. And they had like five, six candidates on these debates, but didn't invite her, right? Because she was the only one talking about corruption, the only one talking about Agenda 21, the only one talking about the organized crime and Freemasons and the Chinese nationals that are coming in here on behalf of the People's Liberation Army and Operation Sidewinder, buying up urban real estate and keeping it under Chinese control via purchasable passports. You can buy a passport in New Zealand very easily. All you need is the money. You in Canada, the system's very similar as well. You put 500 grand into...
Absolutely. I come from Vancouver. It's loaded there.
Yeah. So you put 500 grand and the Canadian government will give you and your whole family Canadian passports so that when you come directly from China, are employed by the People's Liberation Army intelligence and purchase Vancouver, you know, real estate, and at last count, 80% of downtown Vancouver is Chinese owned. But here's the good thing. Because you bought your passport for you and your family, none of the purchases count on the official records as being foreign owned. They're on the record as being purchased by Canadian citizens. Isn't that beautiful? Now, the exact same thing is happening in New Zealand. The exact same thing's happening in Australia. And, I just wanted to make a video sort of like defining how that sort of works, as well as bringing in...
Actually, it's happening a lot in the United States as well.
Yeah, that too. If you speak English, the Chinese want to dominate your country.
That's true. That is true.
You know, it's pretty straightforward.
And Africa. I mean, Africa is being bought out by Chinese mostly right now as well. They're building their infrastructure, and they've got better ties with the Africans right now than the Americans do. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's in a what did Ian Wishart call it? A global war for strategic control. Okay? The New World Order is doing one thing, the Chinese are doing another. One would argue that they're actually the same entity, just two different branches of it, going about the same plan from opposite directions, but not 100% sure on that one yet. Because we've still got people like Benjamin Fulford and others talking about the White Hat Society and the Asian Secret Societies not liking the Bavarian Adam Weishaupt and Illuminati. By the way, I have a screenshot that I got sent by somebody, can't say who, from an official, like the highest, one of the highest ranking Freemasons in the United States, saying that you need to stop talking bad about the Freemasons and the Illuminati, because us, the Freemasons and the Illuminati, are really, really good and enlightened and wonderful people. So at the same time that they deny that there is an Illuminati, they say that they are the Illuminati and that they're the good guys. All right? An official, like, with the actual stamp on it and everything. I was just like, oh my God, how freaking naive are these people? They're so crazy. They're so psychopathic and crazy because of their just overarching power over anybody. You know, they think they're above the law, and the hubris just gets the better of them sometimes. Half the great leaks, I reckon, have just been really, really, really stupid, psychopathic people who are so full of hubris that they trip over their own words, right? And allow themselves open for attack by people like me.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes, what was the old saying? How do you expose a fascist? By making them act like it.
Nice. Very good. I think we're going to wrap it up here, Vinny. We're getting close to an hour. Do you want to throw on your website and anything else you want to plug in?
Sure, sure. Just the one thing I wanted to say as well is I'm making a short film called A Werewolf, like A Werewolf. And it's going to be real funny. He's a dude who goes to his psychiatrist, and he doesn't want to believe that the New World Order is real. So he asks the psychiatrist to give him a drug that'll zonk him out and help him to deny it easier. The psychiatrist is only too happy to help and charges him a hell of a lot of money. But unfortunately, the drug starts turning him into a werewolf. And it turns out that the psychiatrist is actually part of a mind control program. And that this guy, through trying to deny that mind control programs exist, unwittingly found himself in one. All right. So that's interesting, isn't it? So that's that. Now, I wanted to tell people about my Patreon page. If you go to the homepage, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, or just Google Vinny Eastwood, Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news, and go ahead, click that little Patreon button. If you give as little as a dollar a month, you get access to all of my shows and everything before anyone else. And if you flick us an email with your Facebook address, we'll also add you into the Vinny Eastwood Donors Facebook group, so that you and other donors like yourself can sit in there and actually have chats without being overwhelmed by trolling, narcissistic, psychopathic scum, as is the case with the vast majority of Facebook groups, which are really, really testing my patience at the moment. But other than that, Google Vinny Eastwood for thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and my YouTube channel, Vinny Eastwood NZ, or NZ if you prefer the northern nomenclature. Other than that, thank you, guys.
Awesome. It's always a pleasure to chat with you, Vinny, and I guess we'll catch up within the next little while, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you.